that the Lord Jesus Christ will do his great work in us and through us. So let's pray one more time, and then we'll consider the truth of God together this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that we can pray. We thank you that there's a God who cares enough to be concerned about our heart, to read the needs of our heart, and to fill the lives that we have with the blessings that you have for us. Lord, you're a good God, and we just sung those words, we prayed those words. We're thankful that you're a God big enough to answer those prayers. Help us this morning, Lord, as we now open your word. And we pray for all the other classes that you will speak to them all, the children, Lord, and the teens and the adults. Bless them. And we pray, Lord, especially for the babies amongst us. And we pray that you will even now work in their hearts that they might one day receive the truth of God. We ask these things, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the question is, does the Bible address itself to the great issues of life? Is there an answer for the big problems of life? And the book of John is a very interesting book. Those of you who were in our little class last Sunday will remember that we took a look at the story in John chapter 2. We're going to go through the book of John today. If you want to follow in your Bibles, you sort of got to just turn to the chapters and listen. We're not going to be reading a lot of these verses today. But John chapter 2 is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ taking some water pots, big water pots, and filling them with water, and then pouring out what was in the pots. And what comes out is wine rather than water. The miracle was turning water into wine. And the problem is that not every life that you know is full of joy. There are problems in the world. And the book of John was written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing we might have life. Life that God intended us to have, the kind of life that he made us to enjoy. How do we get that? And the picture in John chapter 2 is, well, if you're like a water pot, you could fill yourself with the water of God, and if you did, what would come out would be joy. As a matter of fact, you can read in John chapter 2 how big the water pots are. And in the authorized version, it says the water pots are 2 to 3 firkins, okay? And if you don't know what that means, you're like all the rest of us, because we don't know what firkins are. But the margin of my Bible says it was probably around 9 gallons. So I wanted to find out how much a gallon of water weighed. Do you know how much a gallon of water weighs? Roughly 9 pounds. So if you had 9 gallons and 9 pounds, what would that be? It'd be about 81 pounds of water in these jugs, okay? And I said, what's the significance of that? And then I realized that you, more or less, have about 81 pounds of water in you. We're not told precisely the weight of the bodies, and every body is different, but there's sort of a rough approximation there. And the picture is this, that if you fill your life with the truth of God, then he will answer those real issues in your life and give you joy instead of the despair that comes from even asking those difficult questions about what life is all about. And John says, that's the kind of thing that I want to address to you. I want you to believe on the name of the Son of God that you might have life through his name. It's in John chapter 7, verse 37. We should probably look there and just read that little verse together. John 7, 37. This is what it says. There was a feast, and Jesus went to the feast. And on the great day of the feast, when everybody was celebrating, the verse reads, John 7, 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he goes on and it says, he said this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that what you wanted in your life? That's what I want in my life. I want rivers of living water. Waters that are like wine. I like that to flow from my life. But what if I were one of those people who was plagued by the great issues that we're plagued with in life today? Have you ever heard this particular argument? I tried it and it didn't work. You ever heard that one? Yeah. A lot of people reach that conclusion towards the end of their life. And they say, pathetically, I tried it and it didn't work. And the story is there's six water pots, the stories of six people, and how God answered the need in each of those six people. Each of those people, typical of the kind of people who are asking today the questions that are being asked today. First question is, I tried it once and it didn't work. Is there any hope for me? First man was Nicodemus, John chapter 3. What do you know about Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a man who figured that the best way to get the best out of life was to get a really good religion and live it to the full. And this particular man, Nicodemus, he had the best religion that was in the world at the time. It was the religion of Judaism. It wasn't the Old Testament exactly. It was the Old Testament twisted out of shape, but it was still pretty good. He actually wasn't just an ordinary man. He was a teacher. He would have been a professor in the theological schools of his day. He had it to the full. And he realized that he tried it and it didn't really work. He came to Jesus one day. And he said to them in John chapter 3, he said, teacher, we know that you're from God, because nobody can do the miracles that you do, except God is with them. And so the world today is filled with people who are trying to do good. Some people even who say, I'm going to get the best religion, and I'm going to devote myself to that best religion. But you see, if you don't have Jesus, then your religion isn't going to help you very much. And Nicodemus, with all the best, the very best religion, living it to the full, came to Jesus and said, you know, there's something missing. We know that you're a teacher come from God. And the best religion without Jesus doesn't satisfy. There's an answer to the question, I tried the good and it didn't work. This is the answer. It's in John chapter 3 and verse 7. I want you to read it together. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you haven't been born again, you haven't had the answer to the great issue of life. I tried it and it didn't work. But this morning, I want to give you many answers to many questions. So we're going to go very fast. And what's the next story in the book of John? The next story is about a woman whose life was empty. Her life was empty for another reason. She had had five husbands, was living with number six, who was not her husband, and she was not happy. And she said, I tried it, and it didn't work. Nicodemus said, I tried the good and it didn't work. She said, I tried the bad and it didn't work. You know, we got a strange society. Our society today basically is teaching that the old morality will never satisfy. There's great constraints associated with the old morality. We need freedom. And so we've got all kinds of laws that say it isn't just married life that would be satisfying. You should be able to have all kinds of other relationships. Bible use, remember, teaches this. One man, one woman in marriage is God's only plan for sexual purity. And without it, there will be heartache. and heartbreak. Have you ever heard of anybody who was from the Hollywood scene who had an unhappy marriage? Yeah. The most recent was Doris Day, wasn't it? And she sang all these beautiful pieces. And she was the picture of happiness and peace and joy, and she made herself extremely famous. Nobody ever talked about the fact that she had four marriages. And the latest story is that her grandson, the only grandson, I take it that she had, who couldn't even visit her for the last 15 years of her life. What a mess. Our world says we need to get rid of those old constraining laws. Where God says, this is my law. You live it, you'll be happy. And don't turn away from my law. Okay? Pathos number one. I tried the good and it didn't work. What's the answer? Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Pathos number two. I tried the bad and it didn't work. Any hope? Jesus could have said to that woman, "There's no hope for you. You go away." Jesus said, "If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask him, he would give you living water." And he gave her living water. And through her, he gave living water to so many others in that city of Samaria. What was it all about? I tried it and it didn't work. And then I went to Jesus. If you go over to John chapter 5, you'll find another story. It's a very interesting story about a man. He'd been unable to walk for 38 years. Okay? That pretty pathetic? Unable to walk for 38 years. He couldn't get around. He didn't have a wheelchair. They carried him periodically, I guess, or regularly. They carried him to the Pool of Bethesda. He lay on a mat when he got there. I asked myself the question, what's that picture of? I think that's a picture of the man in our day who says, you know, I can't do it. Do you know anybody who got to that point in life? And they said, you know, there's all kinds of suggestions as to how you should live out there. There's all kinds of people who tell you what to do. My problem is I can't do it. They went off to UBC and they studied all their courses on how to live life. I went to UBC. I studied a few things on how to live life. I thought to myself, if I wanted to know how to live life, I wouldn't go to those professors. They don't know whether they're coming or going. You can take all the philosophy and the psychology courses you want. You can buy a whole shelf full of how-to books, self-help books. You can follow self-actualization and all the other things. And you know what you're going to get to eventually? You're going to get to the pathetic line that goes like this. I can't do it. If I were to ask you to put up your arm, if you had ever in your life got to the point where you said, you know, I can't do it. Deep down in your heart, you said, I can't do it. If I asked you to raise your hands, there'd be a lot of hands go up. You know, I'd put both of my hands up to start with. Is there an answer to that terrible reality of life? I can't do it. And the answer is yes, there is. It's a very delightful answer. And it goes like this. Jesus said, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be restored? Do you want to be the kind of person who can do it? And the man said yes. And he stood up. And after 38 years, he was able to walk. You might just want to turn to John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is the truth that flows out of John chapter 5, the story of the paralytic who couldn't walk for 38 years. Jesus said, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. 38 years he couldn't walk. Jesus gave him legs to walk as a sign that he wanted to give him everlasting life. Okay? He will not come into condemnation. He'll be passed from death unto life. I can't do it. Yes, you can. How can you do it? If Jesus is in you, he can do it. There is hope. I tried it and it didn't work. Yes, you can have hope. Jesus can give you the replacement for empty religion. He can be the Lord of your life, and he can give you hope, and you can do the good you want to do. What about the person who says, I did it all wrong and it didn't work? Jesus says, I'll give you a new start. I'll give you a new life. You drink the water that I give. You believe on me, you'll get new life just like that woman did. We used to have her in the audience here, and her story was this. She said, you know, I went along to a little Bible study, and they were talking about the truth of John chapter 4. And I realized from John chapter 4 about the woman who said that she was going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And her testimony was this. When I came home from the Bible study, I said, if it worked for that woman 2,000 years ago, it'll probably work for me. And she asked the Lord Jesus to be her Savior. And she lived in happy fellowship with us here for many, many years before she went to heaven. God can do it. Three issues in the life. I tried the good and it didn't work. I tried to be good and it didn't work. I tried the bad. It didn't work either. Number three, I can't do it. What's the issue in John chapter 8? Well, the story in John chapter 8 is actually a bit of a pathetic story. The Jews brought to the Lord Jesus Christ a woman who had been caught in adultery. And as a matter of fact, she had been caught, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery. So there was no question whether she was innocent or guilty. It was obvious to all that she was guilty. What on earth do you do under those circumstances? And I'm just going to say that that's the issue, the reality of life that many of us face today. And it goes something like this. I got caught. Life is very, very interesting and easy for people who cheat and don't get caught. But what happens when you do get caught? And our popular media is full of stories these days of men and women who've lived lives they shouldn't live. And they got caught. And frankly, for them, it is very embarrassing. It's a whole lot worse than that. And here's this dear woman. And she's just covered with guilt and shame. And the issue of her life is, I got caught. What do you do? Suicide is the route that many take at this point. There are many other routes that are taken. A lot of people like to lie their way out of it if they can. Other people would buy their way out of it if they can. But they can't. What do you do when you're caught? And she stood with the Lord Jesus. And he said to her, has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And the wonderful thing about her is that she accepted the truth of the Lord. We're just going to read a couple of verses as for John's commentary on this. John chapter 8 and verse 30. It says, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those who did believe him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This particular woman was completely enslaved by the consequences of her sin. Be sure, your sin will find you out. That's the guarantee of the God of heaven. You might get away with all kinds of things in life. You'll never get away with things in heaven. Be sure, your sin will find you out. She got caught. Good for her that she got caught in life. What would happen if she hadn't got caught until after death? She wouldn't have had any opportunity to repent. She would have been in a state of eternal condemnation. But the Lord Jesus says here, listen, if you believe on me like this woman did, and if you continue in my word, he said to her, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. If you believe and if you continue, why then you'll know the truth, and the truth can set you free. And there is hope for those who get caught. Has the Bible got good news? Yes. How do we know? Number one, we know that the Bible's got good news because it offers hope to the people who said, I tried good and it wasn't good enough and it didn't work. And there's hope for the person who says, I tried the bad and it didn't satisfy. And there's hope for the person who says, I just can't do it. And there's hope for the person who says, I got caught. That's why we preach the Bible, you know. It's the only place you can go for hope, for the real questions of life. John chapter 9. What's the story of John chapter 9? Well, it's a story about a man who was born blind, okay? And now he grows up and he's still blind. And he's gone and gone and gone and gone, and now he's still blind, okay? What do you do for a man like that? And the wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, I want you to go down to the pool of Siloam. You go down to the pool of Siloam. You do what I tell you. You go down to the pool of Siloam. You wash, and you'll get your eyesight restored. That got any parallel relating to the big issues of life today? Here's an issue that I think is a common one in life today. It goes like this. I'm hopelessly confused. All around me, suggestions and questions and comments and examples. And how am I supposed to know? How many people in the world today? Over 7 billion of them. You ever notice that they're all going in different directions? How do you know where to go? Can't follow them all. I'm confused. And I think if you were to go right down to the heart of people in the world today, and you were to say, what's the big issue? And you'd say, you know, I've lived all this time, and I'm still confused. What tragedy. What pathos. Jesus said, I've got an answer for you. How would you like it if I were to give you your sight, and you could see? You wouldn't be blind and you wouldn't be confused. I asked myself the question, what kind of blindness was here? And I don't know why I thought of this example, but I thought about the problem of a blind man playing tennis. Can you imagine a blind man playing tennis? Okay, that's the kind of confusion a lot of people are in the world today. Is there any hope? John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd cast this man out of the synagogue. He trusted the Lord, and the people around him said, we don't want a religious fanatic like you around here. So they cut him out. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out of the synagogue. When he found him, and I want you to note that Jesus went looking for him. When he found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord? Because the Lord healed him after he spoke to him, so that the man who had healed him didn't know what Jesus looked like. So he spoke to him later, and Jesus said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And if you believe, then Jesus will cure that terrible problem in your life, confusion. Did you note that we read the early verse, John chapter 5? It begins with the words, verily, verily, truly, truly. Can you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Why? Because he's truth. You trust him, you'll know he's truth. You study him, you'll know he's truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And he said to the woman who'd been taken in adultery, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Okay? Five big issues in the life of the people in the world today, if they'll only admit it. Number one, I tried the good, even good religion, and it didn't work. I tried bad, and it didn't work. I had to confess, I can't do it. I can't measure up. Number four, I got caught. And number five, I'm still confused. Is there another big issue? John chapter 11. What's the issue in John chapter 11? Well, there's a fellow by the name of Lazarus in John chapter 11. And the problem with Lazarus was he got sick. And then his problem got even worse. He died. Okay? Can I suggest that there's an illustration here of another big problem in life? It goes like this. I've run out of time. The older you get, the more you realize how pathetic that is. I've run out of time. That's the tragedy in the life of so many today. Illustrations abound. Those who've run out of time basically suggested, many of them, that before I run out of time completely, there's a few other bad things I want to do. Some of them even will have a few good things they want to do. They talk about having a bucket list. I don't know all that's implied by that, but I think it implies something like this. These are the things that I want to do before I die. Well, frankly, I never made one of those. There's a lot of things that I want to do, but I postponed them. Telling somebody the other day that when I was 18 years old, I decided that I wanted to ski. And then I decided that I wasn't going to have any time to practice until I was too old to learn. And so I said to the Lord, I would like to take up skiing in the millennium, please. I'm going to be around for at least 1,000 years then the eternal state comes after that. So it wasn't too hard for me to give up skiing because I figured that I could take it up in the millennium. Okay, what is the answer? What's the antidote to the great problem? I've run out of time. How'd you like eternal life? Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. You run out of time? How'd you like eternal life? Lazarus, how'd you like eternal life? Lazarus, and he dies. 4 days later, along comes the Lord. He says, now Lazarus, you come on back, please. You come out. And Lazarus comes out. I don't know how he came out. He was bound hand and foot and so on. Somehow, he walked out. I guess they wrapped his legs independently rather than together. He was able to walk out, they took all the grave clothes off him and set him free. And they probably came up to him when they had supper in the next chapter, and they probably said to him, so Lazarus, how's it feel to be born again? Lazarus says, kind of nice, you know. I was worried a few weeks ago. I was worried about running out of time, but I'm not worried about it anymore. I got this eternal life stuff. It's marvelous, absolutely marvelous. Are there six big issues in life today? Yes, what are they? I tried the good, and it wasn't good enough, and it didn't satisfy. Number two, I tried bad, and that was worse, and it didn't satisfy either. Number three, I had to admit I couldn't do it. Number four, I got caught. And I was covered with shame. Number five, I was all confused. Number six. I ran out of time. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer. What would you do? Well, the picture starts, doesn't it, with filling these water pots, these six water pots, with water. Okay? And the six water pots are a picture of you and me. And you fill them with the water that Jesus can give. What happens? It's called joy. The picture is why. The consequence is delight for you and all around. Of course, there's an alternative. Moses said to Pharaoh one day, I'm going to take a picture of water from the Nile, the water, the natural water of life. You just do what comes naturally. It's called sin. And you fill your life with that and you pour it out, and what's it become? Blood. Wow. What a contrast. But you fill your life with Jesus. Truth of Jesus, marvelous things will flow. Jesus said, the great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, if you believe on me. I guess the thing that thrills me about the Bible is that it not only preaches the answers to the issues of the heart of men. What thrills me is that when one believes it, it works. I heard the story on the radio last night, probably last night, I can't remember. I think it was last night. It goes like this. Rabbi Zacharias told it. He told it about a man who was in a debate. And the man he was debating against was one of the leaders of atheism at the University of Oxford in England, right there up at the very, very top. And the man who was a Christian interrupted this atheist and said, excuse me, sir, but I have a question for you. He said, supposing that you were traveling in the bad part of town one night, and it was late at night, and you were driving along, and you got lost. And the farther you went, the more you realized that you were getting into a worse section and a worse section and a worse section of town until things were looking pretty desperate and you were lost and it was pitch black and there was no, you didn't know which way to turn, and all of a sudden your car went and it stopped. And you tried to get it started and you couldn't get it started. And then you got out. You lifted the hood to see what was wrong, and you heard behind you some noise, and you saw six great, big, burly men walking towards you. Now, he said to this professor of atheism, he said, would it make any difference to you if you were to find out that those men had just come from a Bible study? Would that make any difference? Yeah, that'd make a big difference. Where'd they come from? Ah, they say, if they came from a Bible study, it probably means that they're not going to beat me and rob me. Does the truth of God work? And the answer is yes. How do you know? Just ask somebody who's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They'll tell you. It works. Praise the Lord. We read this book. We teach this book because it works. Okay? What are the questions? I tried the good. I tried religion, and it didn't work. What's the answer? Jesus. I tried the bad. It was terrible. The consequences, the wages of sin is death. The devil always pays wages. God guarantees the wages of sin. It's death. Didn't work. I just can't do it. But Jesus can. I got caught. Jesus is the only one who can solve that problem. I'm all confused. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I've run out of time. Jesus offers you eternal life. That's why people come to Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for the fact that Jesus is the answer. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll just work in each of our hearts. May we be honest enough, Lord, to admit that these are the issues that we face in life. May we be honest enough to admit that there are no answers to these great issues, these great questions, apart from Jesus Christ himself. Lord, may we come to him. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he taught regarding the impotent man who'd been lame for 38 years. He who hears my word and believes on him who sent me will not come into condemnation, but will be passed from death to life. And that's what we want, Lord. And we pray that you'll give it to each one this morning. We ask in Jesus' name.